Welcome to the Fabric Podcast and our conversation, Relationships That Work. Find resources to share these conversations with people in your life at fabricmpls.com and share your own thoughts there or by finding us on social media at fabricmpls.
Hi, Fabric Minneapolis. Greg Meyer here. It's vacation time and I packed my bags. I'm loading the car. The house is all locked up, the cat's taken care of.
Okay, I got in the car, started the engine, I'm ready to go. So, what highway should I take? Depends on where we're going. Well, no time for that. I mean, normally, sure, but there's lots of traffic if we wait until rush hour, so we gotta get going. We just have to get on the road. All right. That's all ridiculous, right? I mean, if we don't know where we're going, how can I possibly decide what route to take to get there? I mean, that'd be a pretty risky way to start any vacation and an incredibly big risk to take with your one and only lifetime. Here's what this is all about. We're talking about relationships at work these weeks. And to keep those relationships on course or to get them back on course, you need to know where you want to go with them. You need to have a destination. So last week we talked about that first line in Stephen Covey's book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective Families. He said this, he said, good families, even great families, we can expand that to relationships, okay? Good relationships, even great relationships, are off course 90% of the time. Life is hard. I mean, people are complicated and there are about 7 billion kinds of us out there. Things don't go according to plan. That's why the 90% happens. Just like that airplane that's off its course 90% of the time due to wind storms, air traffic, errors, you name it. So we are constantly knocked off course. But don't get discouraged by that. As alarming as it may sound and as distressing as it feels sometimes, that deviation from your course isn't the most important thing. The most important thing, the determining factor of the quality of your relationships, is what you do with the other 10%. Now, a plane uses that other 10% to get back on course, and because of it, it arrives at its destination. You can use that 10% the same way and return to your course time and time again and end up where you want to be. Now, to do that, however, you need what I didn't have when I started this pretend vacation, something I don't recommend, by the way, during our stay-at-home orders of the pandemic. But hey, this is a dramatic effect. That thing that I was missing and that we all need is a destination, a vision of where I'm headed, a vision of where we're headed. Without it, I'm powerless to know what to do with that 10%. In fact, I may not even realize that I'm not headed in the right way because I never considered where I wanted to end up. That destination answers my why, the purpose behind my relationship, why I'm in it, how it fits in the bigger picture of who I am in the world, why we should share this slice of life that we share. That destination tells me why I would choose one highway, one path over all the others. Okay, instead of doing all this from inside my car, it's getting kind of hot in here, I'm going to head back inside my video studio in the corner of my bedroom and be right back, okay? Welcome to my studio. Anyway, let me tell you a story. This was quite a few years ago. I was working at the workbench in my basement trying to fix one of the avalanche of things that break faster than I can repair them in our house. And Jordan, who, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 at the time, was messing around near me and wanted me to play with them. And I just kind of kept putting them off and putting them off until finally he got really insistent and I just lost my temper. I said, can't you see I'm doing something important here? Yeah, his head droops and he just kind of wanders away with his shoulders slouched down. And I knew I just crushed him. I'd lost sight of my destination. I forgot that where I really wanted to go in my relationship with him was to help him grow to feel loved and adequate, always worthy of my love and attention, not to provide him with a house that had everything fixed up just right, all right? You know, that's the wonder of the 10% when you know your destination. So after kicking myself around for being such a jerk for a couple of minutes, I put my tools down, I went and found him, I apologized and played with him for a while, found a way for him to help me, i.e. not slow me down too much. He loved it, and I was still able to do what I needed to do, but what was really important is that I was clear that my job wasn't fixing some object, it was raising a child. So here's one of the sad facts of life, and that's that you will hurt people that you're in relationship with, all right? You're gonna hurt people you love.
You will offend coworkers, you're going to let down friends, you're going to undermine the trust that family members have in you. It happens even when you don't want it to, even when you don't intend to. But when you don't have a vision of where you're headed in those relationships, you'll hurt people more often. You'll be less likely to be aware that you even cause any damage, and you're going to be less likely to know how to recover from it when you do. Let me share another story with you. I've got far too many of these, you know, the 90% of life, I suppose. So it was late at night. I was pretty tired, late in the evening, at least. A friend calls. He wants to get together and talk. Yeah, sure, I can do it. I'm tired, but I go anyway. So turns out he's dealing with some pretty tough stuff at work, and he's wanting, you know, to get my read on it all. He wants to share it with somebody. And his story, though, reminded me of why I was so tired. So I started telling him about my plate and how it was overflowing, and I didn't have enough time to do everything and stay human and on and on. And after about 45 minutes, the conversation just kind of ended. We said goodbye and headed home. And that's when I realized that something was kind of wrong. And I kind of replayed the tape of that evening, and I realized I never let him tell me much about his situation. I did almost all the talking. I never gave him the space to share what was on his heart and mind. I knew right then that I'd left him even deeper in the loneliness of his situation than he was before he talked to me. And I probably hurt his opinion of me as a friend whom he thought cared. I'd forgotten my destination. Fortunately, the idea that this bunch of guys that we all shared, that we would always be there for each other, woke me up. I called him, I cleared the air, I found out that, yes, I had let him down in a big way, which was not fun to hear from him, believe me. But he accepted my apology and wanted to set a time to try and do it again. And that was good. Here's another thing that might surprise you. You probably have all the relational skills you need to have great relationships right now. What you might be missing is knowing when to use those skills. Knowing your destination can help you know that. I can turn on to I-90 from I-35 easily. I've been able to do that since I was a teenager. But if I don't know where I'm going, why would I know to turn? Now, have you ever tried to do a jigsaw puzzle without the picture on the box? Yeah, okay, yeah. I know some people who have done it, but come on, those are kind of psycho people. I mean, seriously, it's practically impossible to do that jigsaw puzzle without the picture. I mean, 99% of people would give up first. Without a picture of where we are trying to go, what we are trying to put together, it just doesn't happen. So Stephen Covey, he talks about a destination for your relationship with this language. He says it's a clear and compelling vision of what you and the others in the relationship are all about. There's some important words there. First of all, he says clear. Can you visualize it? Is it concrete enough to be actionable? And then compelling. Does it matter to you? Or is it merely something you're supposed to do? Is it something that is truly important to you? Does it draw you forward? Does it make you long to have it be true of you and that other person? And then he mentions in there, you and the others in the relationship. That is, does it truly reflect this specific relationship? It doesn't have to be completely unique from something anybody else would ever say, but is it easy to understand why this vision belongs to this relationship? And why is that vision important for both of you, not just one of you, one or the other, but of both of you? Now, all this talk may sound a lot like a mission statement, which is kind of a yawner these days. I mean, the 7 to 13 words that every business has to have and everyone is supposed to be able to memorize and recite. Yeah, not really that sort of thing. I mean, I'm not convinced that those nice, succinctly crafted sentences do what some people think they're going to do. But then again, yeah, your vision needs to be wrestled down well enough that you can actually articulate it. It needs to be clear and compelling and speak to the particular relationship that you have at home with your friends, your coworkers. I mean, this vision thing isn't actually all that new. We just have a name for it now. Jesus had one after all. I mean, he had a very clear picture of his destination, and he summed it up best, I think, at one point where he says, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it abundantly. And no, he didn't go around passing out business cards with that printed on it. And no, he didn't repeat that same line over and over again, but he did stick to it consistently. I mean, how could Jesus have done what he did with his life without that kind of understanding of his purpose? And Jesus gave us a destination as well, a vision for our lives. He said this, and you're going to recognize these words, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbors as you love yourself. That's sort of a general destination that covers everybody in all of our lives and all the world. But we all have to have, and all do have, our own individual versions of it that are more specific and unique to who we are. Jesus also had a vision for our relationship, something that he repeated several times, and then his followers picked it up and repeated it over and over in different parts of the Bible that they were responsible for. And it was simply this: love one another. Three words. Simple. Clear. I hope you can see how having a vision like this for where you're headed with your relationships, how this works, how it adds value and direction to the many actions and decisions that you're going to be needing to make consciously and unconsciously every day. And truly, it is more important that you keep the conversation about your relationships alive and ongoing rather than have it all figured out so that you can print it and frame it, right? I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in your owning it inside. I've been through enough life stages myself to know that none of the visions that I've had for my relationships was the one. It's always a work in progress. Sometimes it's better to keep at the question than to pretend that you have found the answer. Also, there's a strength in different voices saying the same thing from their own perspectives and with their own words, right? So each person can own that mission statement. Each person can own that vision, that destination for themselves. I think that's more powerful than everyone repeating the mantra that's been printed, framed, and hung on the wall. Okay, so that highlights one of the important things to keep in mind as you spend time during this coming week and beyond considering what your relationships are about, what your vision is for them. And the first is this: it can't be my destination, my vision for our relationship, but our vision, our destination for our life, our work together. This is the shift from me to we, and it needs to happen. If you take on this project alone, then it is only yours. And it is only going to reflect your perspective on the relationship. And that is going to be its weakness. Ownership is important. And if people aren't part of the creation of something, they are unlikely to be interested in being part of the realization of something. You need to share it. The people who are part of the relationship all need to be aware of it and own it together, not just agree with it. This is why I hope you aren't going through these weeks of relationships at work alone. The other people in those relationships that mean so much to you, that you rely on, that you need to work with, that live with, they need to be thinking about this too. Otherwise, they're going to be wondering why all of a sudden you want to get all serious about your relationships. Hasn't it been fine up to now? What's the problem? What's broken? Some people might be threatened or resentful of you coming up with all these new ideas that are telling them who they should be and how, what they should be all about and so on. I mean, you're changing the rules on people. Now, if it doesn't make sense for other people to watch or listen to these messages, you know, I get it. Or if you don't have the position or ability to initiate these conversations, that's quite possible. Or maybe there's some people involved in these relationships that just aren't interested in participating. Yeah, that's undoubtedly going to be true for you. So get creative. You can get these ideas moving in people without running them through a mini conference. I mean, in the midst of all the busyness that you are dealing with, just mention the stuff that blows you off course 90% of the time. Talk about how you have valued the times when you've been a great team, when being friends or family has really clicked. See what ideas or reflections the others bring to that conversation. Don't evaluate, don't judge what people say, just listen, and at least on your own, write them down. This takes time, folks, all right? Take note of what seems to resonate with others, then give voice to it. Now remember, it isn't so important that you get the wording just right, but that you are working on and thinking about it, keeping that conversation alive. Now, I can just hear some of you saying what maybe I would say when I first heard this, and that is, it sounds really good, but people don't do stuff like this. I mean, they don't sit down and come up with a vision statement for all the relationships. And you know what I'll say? I'll say, you're right. They don't. And a lot of people have a lot of crappy, frustrating, sometimes heartbreaking relationships. You choose. Which norm are you going to break? Okay, here's another thing about your destination, the vision for your relationships. Once you have a sense of that vision, it needs to be repeated often. different voices speaking it differently, like I said, each from their own perspective and with their own words, is stronger than everyone reciting one phrase the same way, like the Borg, right? The clear and compelling heart of it needs to be repeated, needs to be heard often. I'll give you an example. When we started Fabric a long time ago, I knew that two things are going to be true. One, that without a clear vision, we would never make it as a new kind of church that we were trying to be. And second, I knew that vision leaks. And that meant that we would have to repeat the vision often. Vision gurus say that vision needs to be refreshed every 6 weeks or it's lost. Here's why vision leaks. People like to turn vision into tasks. Why? Because tasks are easier. They're easier to understand and easier to accomplish. That's why so many churches and other organizations that start out driven by vision end up being nothing more than their programs and their calendar. What they always do and when they always do it. And after a couple trips around that annual merry-go-round, their reason to be, their purpose, has lost both momentum and life. So that's why you might hear me and others repeat some of the same things a lot. You probably can hear them echoing in your head as I mentioned that. Those are vision pieces. That's our DNA. That's what makes us who we are. We don't repeat them a lot because we think you've got a bad memory. We just know that you have lots of other things demanding your time and your attention. So if we want Fabric to be about our why, not just our what, then we need to keep our vision, our destination in front of us. Our vision, folks, is all we've got. We can't let it run out. Now, it's exactly the same in your relationships. People reduce vision in their relationships to habits. Destinations get replaced by things and lists of things that we do. Give you examples. At home, my hope for the love and the connection, the acceptance that I once imagined gets turned into, well, I do my half of the chores. I'm bringing home the bacon. Isn't that enough? I should be appreciated for that. I mean, sure, we have a nice car and a house. Doesn't that show them I love them? We take cool annual vacations. We have dinner at 6 o'clock every day. Now, whatever it is, I mean, we think that substitutes for what we really mean to be about. Those are not bad things, but they aren't the destination. They aren't the why of your family. They are the what. They are the how. When I brought home the paycheck, when I got us to Disney World, when I got in a nice room for every kid in our house, we haven't arrived. In fact, all that flash and dazzle can sometimes substitute for the real stuff in those relationships. It may be exactly what starts hiding our real selves from each other, making us lose sight of what really matters. At work, we do the same stuff, right? Rather than operate from a vision of what we want to be about with the people that we work with, we sell for things like, I do my job. I get to work on time every day. I put in extra hours when it's needed. Again, good stuff. I mean, more employees should do stuff like that. But where is the why behind it? Is it just to not get fired? Is it to do what is expected to earn your check? Or is there something that can pull you and the others whom you have to work with into a team that wants to work together? Something that you're all going to share, some values that will help you be successful as workers and valuable as human beings. Something that gets you and the rest of your team out of bed in the morning and showing up at work. Okay, this idea that we need to be repeating that vision often so that it can stay alive enough is a biggie. But here's another important aspect of this shared vision of where you are headed in your relationships. And that is, we need to be thinking about this vision as a covenant, not as a contract. So what's the difference? A contract is a deal or a compromise that people are willing to accept. A covenant, on the other hand, is a promise or a vision that we join together in trying to realize. I think you can see it's bigger and it's better than any of us could ever have come up with on our own, which sounds like it would be more fun and inspiring to be part of to you. Don't you think so? I mean, do you want to have to coerce people to join in with you? Or are you hoping that they'll discover with you as time goes by what this vision could mean and how you can accomplish it together, including by learning from the things that maybe aren't working? I mean, that creative thing that can be going on in a covenant is amazing. I'll just be frank. I mean, it's hard to garner cooperation around a bunch of rules. This is how you're supposed to behave in the car. Make sure your expense reports are filled out properly. That's how a contract works. It's much easier to enlist that cooperation over a mutual destination. Where do we all want to go? The pride you feel over your part in a shared project. That's how a covenant works. Now, you don't have to use this language. You don't have to talk about covenants. But the stance of one is very different from the other. And the way that you're thinking about it will change the way you approach it and talk about it. it will communicate that this is something that you want to do for them and with them, not just something you want them to do for you. Okay, so where are you headed in your relationships? Believe me, you are headed somewhere. Just because you haven't chosen a path doesn't mean you're not headed towards something. It may be different every day because you never chose anywhere to go, so you never get anywhere. Maybe somewhere none of you want to go because no one ever took the time to pick a place. But neither of those options sound like relationships at work. They sound like relationships that just happen. It's the 90% off course gradually turning into 95 and eventually 100, and there's not a relationship left. You've got your relationships. You know what they're like. You know that they will never be perfect, and the good news is that they don't have to be. Nobody's are. The difference isn't in the deviations from your destination that you may that may take up to 90% of the time, but in the practices that allow you to use that other 10% to get back on track. So let me finish by talking to you about the law of 2 degrees. Did you know that a relationship in which two people hold almost the exact same vision may be less likely to be successful than one in which people are pretty far off from each other? Here's why. If you're far off, you know, the numbers are just a metaphor, but let's just say 20 degrees off. It's obvious. You're diverging from one another rapidly. While there may be a lot of tension over your different visions and habits, you can't help but notice it. You have to talk about it and work something out, or it's over as fast as it starts. Now, what happens when you're almost the same? In fact, as much as any two people can ever be, you know, and still be two people. You appear to have the same destination, heading in the same direction, expecting the same stuff from life. Say, like, only 2 degrees off from each other. Well, when you're that close, I mean, why check in? Nothing ever changes. You're always right there. You go down the road a bit and look up, and there the other person is. You're fine, right? Yeah, over weeks, maybe months, the difference in your trajectory seems like nothing. You're both still looking at approximately the same thing. But let's do a little geometry here. Two lines start at the exact same point, but 2 degrees different in trajectory look really close to each other at that point. Even at 3 feet, they're only an inch and a quarter apart from each other. I mean, that's almost nothing. But after 100 yards of going down the road, what's that in human experience? 6 weeks, 6 months, they're now 10 and a half inches apart. That's more, but not really a big deal. I mean, less than a foot and we've gone the length of a football field. That's not a big deal. But after a mile, yeah, what's that in human concepts? A year? Is it 10 years in human experience? Those two lines are now 184 feet apart. That's a long way. I can't really see your face anymore. If nothing has triggered realizing that these lines aren't headed in the same direction yet, it's going to be hard to start doing that now because we've been doing it this way a long, long time. Think about it this way. If a rocket heading to the moon is only 2 degrees off, it's going to miss the moon by over 7,000 miles. That's more than 3 times the diameter of the moon. That is a major mistake. Here's the point. No one is always headed in the same direction in their relationships with their partner, their family, their friends, their coworkers. Most of us, because we are different people with different experiences and tendencies, we will be off most of the time, and that's okay. What's not okay is never making course corrections, not stopping to check where we are headed and to compare it with what we had hoped, not checking in with each other. At some point, no matter how close you once were, the energy required to get back on course with each other feels too great. It's easier to accept the loss of the relationship and the pain that goes with it, the vision of the life together that you once had and frankly have pretty much forgotten. You know, it's okay to be moving apart from each other. That's life. What I'm hoping you'll join me in doing is learning how to check in with your vision of your relationship. Learn how to check in with each other. You don't have to have perfectly straight lines, but you can find ways to keep them from being too far off course with each other. You know, it doesn't surprise me that Jesus made such a big deal about unconditional love and forgiveness when he talked about our relationships to him, to God, the fabric of existence, and with our relationships with each other and with ourselves. He knew that life comes down to relationships. They are what makes the world go round for us. And those relationships were not going to be about doing them perfectly, which would have no need for unconditional love and forgiveness They were going to be about getting back on track courageously and persistently over and over again. So give yourself some of that forgiveness. It's not just okay, it's how life works. And give some to the others at home and your friends and your workmates. They're people too. And this life stuff isn't all that easy. And the pandemic that we're dealing with right now hasn't made it any easier. We can use all the more grace, all the more forgiveness right now. So thanks for listening or watching. Work on determining the destinations of your various relationships. Start with the most important ones. And remember, don't do it alone. Work on finding ways of doing this together. Be creative. If the others in that relationship also heard this talk, well, now the ice is broken. Start the conversation. What's to hold you back? So we'll see you next week. We're going to talk about the simple, invaluable, and not often used practice that reminds us to check in regularly and often. Peace.
Thanks for listening. Keep this conversation going with the people in your life. Share this podcast and resources. If you're looking to support this work financially, go to fabricmpls.com/give. A 5-star rating and review will also help others find us. Thanks again.